Today I want us to do two things. Number one, go back to the basics. But number two, I see a bunch of kids and teens in here. And how many of you are grandparents? Can I see your hands? Which one of you grandparents have the best looking, most intelligent grandkids? Let me see your hands. So when those kids come up to you and say, "Hey, Grandpa, Grandma, could you teach me how to read the Bible?" What would you do? Would your first thought be, "Well, they go to school, come on, they can learn to read." But it's not just reading. In the old phrase, "A chapter a day will keep the devil away," that's not what it's about. It's not a magical rabbit's foot. To truly look at the Word of God and read it, you have to examine it, apply it, do it. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it with me. Read, examine, apply, do. Again?
Read, examine, apply.
Just the men?
Read, examine.
Just the ladies?
Read, examine, apply.
Under 50?
Read, examine,
over 50? If you're in love. If you wish you were in love. I'm sorry. By the way, you have to put, okay, I'm still 85, 90% of my preaching is to teens. So I get a little nervous when I get in front of some adults. I just remember you are nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay. Now, let me back up. I'm going to put something on the screen. And I want us to read it together. Now, I know some of you are really, really good readers, and you can read fast, but don't. Just read it together, okay? As I put it up here, let's read this out loud together. Ready? Here we go. If you can read this, you have a strange mind, too. Can you read this? Only 55 people out of 100 can. I couldn't believe that I could actually understand what I was reading. The phenomenal power of the human mind, according to a research at Cambridge University, it doesn't matter in what order the letters in the word are. The only important thing is that the first and last letter be in the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. Amazing, huh? Yeah, and I always thought that spelling was important. If you can read this, you can read anything. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Read, examine, apply, do. As newborn babes, just like they desire that milk, they're hungry, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And here's where it says, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you have tasted the gracious, loving, merciful gift of God called forgiveness and salvation, if you have trusted Christ and Christ alone, I promise you there's going to be a hunger in your heart, a hunger for the Word of God. Teens ask me, "Rand, how do you really know if you're saved?" Well, you're going to hunger God's Word. Doesn't mean you hit a home run your devotions every day, but at least the desire will be there. But another thing is there's going to be conviction. When a person trusts Christ, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within, right? That Holy Spirit, at least when you would sin, would feel very uncomfortable and make you feel uncomfortable. So conviction is a wonderful sign of salvation. Concern? Yeah. One of the things I love is when you lead a teen to the Lord, and we're hardly not even off our knees when a kid says, do you think maybe God could save my dad? Immediately concern for others. And desire to be more like Jesus. To grow. Not just to float. To do the same thing we've done forever, but to truly grow. Read, examine, apply, do it. Just the ladies?
Read, examine, apply, do
it. I charge you by the Lord. This is what Paul wrote. And sometimes we read over those first phrases too quickly. I charge you by the Lord. I charge you. I encourage you. Not because of what I'm saying, but this is what God wants you to do. The Lord asked me to charge you. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle, specifically Thessalonians, be read to all the believers, all the holy brethren. If this is what God desires, as he has given us this precious book, Would we not want to desire what God desires? Why? Why should we read the Bible? Well, Robert West has some study here to settle the issue of salvation. Do you have any unsaved friends, unbelieving friends that you would love to see accept the Lord? And maybe they're inquisitive. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with some of this in your mind. If you're here and you're an unbeliever, or for you that have unbelieving friends, if you're here an unbeliever, I dare you. If you're here and you have unbelieving friends, I dare you to dare them to simply do this. Take a couple hours every night and read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's it. If somebody says, I don't know if I believe, I dare you. What are you so afraid of? To read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just to see what Jesus did for them. Obviously, to grow spiritually, you don't eat, you don't grow. To be encouraged by God. If you have that set place and a set time and a set plan that every single morning you get alone with God, it's almost like getting up, making your coffee, and getting a big hug by God, isn't it? It is that special to arm yourself against Satan's forces. He wants to take us down. We better know how to hold that sword in our hands, okay? And to present ourselves approved to God. All of us desire for God to be pleased with our lives. True? Then study to show yourself approved. Look at this map. Bible's in the front lines. In some places in our world, it's difficult. Some place dangerous. Some place even illegal. As you can see, brave men and women are risking arrest, beatings, imprisonment, and even death to get God's word into the hands of those who otherwise might never receive it. The lightest color is kind of dangerous or difficult. The next darker, kind of the reddish color, illegal. And then the very dark, covert operations only. Now look closely at that map. Do you know what I don't see there? I don't see Maine or New Hampshire or Vermont or even South Carolina. It's not on there, is it? We have all the freedom in the world. When I look at these pictures, I think the top middle one, I love it. These guys are getting in trucks and motorcycles, literally risking their lives just to get the Bible to these families and these kids. Look at the smiles on these faces. Just to get a Bible story book. Just to get a little portion of the Word of God. And folks, we have 5, 6, 7 Bibles on our shelves at home and still don't read them like we should. Read the Bible. Here's one of my heroes. The first picture on the left, this is Sebi, my grandson, when he was 6 years old. They always visit us after Christmas before New Year's, and I'm an early riser, and it was 6 in the morning, and I saw his light was on. I walked in, the first picture there on the left, that's what I saw. I said, what are you doing, buddy? He said, have my devotions. I said, sweet, well, what's that other book? Well, Dad got that for me so I could understand what I'm reading. Now, he's 6, okay. I know he probably can read pretty good, but I knew he couldn't understand what he was reading. So I wanted to help him out a little bit, and I said, well, buddy, can you tell me you want to read for me? He said, sure. And he read a whole chapter. He really did a good job. And when he got done, I said, but buddy, do you understand what you read? And he goes, Papa, people forget. They even forget what God does. So God told him, put all those rocks in a great big pile. So every time they'd see him, they'd remember what he did. Like, duh, Papa, don't you understand this? The second picture is Sebi, again. In the same room, in the same bed, at the same time. But at this point, he's 13. I want you to look real closely at his Bible. This is December 31st. What do you notice about his Bible? He's at the end, isn't he? This is what you call a chronological Bible. It gives you every day, and chronologically you go through the Word of God, which is really, really a fun way to read. I challenge you to do that some year. You say, why? Why? Why would a kid from 6 to 13 be consistent? You know why? Because he has a dad who is a college professor in a state college, a professor of music in Hartford. who gets up every morning and spends time in the Word of God. I get asked all the time, Rand, what's the best thing I can do for my kids? Or what's the best thing I can do for my grandkids? Dad, get up in the morning, make your coffee, and open your Bible. Do you even understand what that does when a kid says, oh, Dad's reading the Bible? Do you understand the comfort that gives a wife knowing that there's a million temptations out there every time you turn? To know that her husband is faithfully in the Word of God. Yeah, he's going to face temptation, but he's in the Word of God. Yeah. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Read, examine. Why don't we read like we should? Well, first of all, busyness. Maybe I should ask, what should I not do? You say, oh, Rand, you just don't understand how busy I am. Because I got work and I got church and we got this clap practice and they're taking music and they have this ball game and I got so much to do, I don't have any time. So what you're telling me is you're too busy for God. Yeah? Even some of you older folks, I'm not being mean, I'm your friend, okay? But some of you are addicted to Fox News. Did you know it repeats every 11 minutes? You watch it 11 minutes, come back in about a month, it's going to say the same thing, okay? I think we'd be more honest if we said maybe it's laziness. Why do I put off reading? Because I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I'd rather watch something. You say, come on, why do I need to read? I watched The Chosen. Isn't that good enough? Doesn't that do it for me? You know why we don't read? It's because of selfishness. Why do I do what I do every day? Do you know why you do what you do? Because you talk about what you think about and you think about what you really, really love. Can I say that again? We talk about what we think about and we think about what we really, really love. I don't have to talk to some of you older ladies 5 seconds before you tell me about your grandkids because you love them. And sadly, men, we talk about our work. Do you ever talk about the Lord? Grandpa, you ever just grab your phone and text one of your grandkids, hey, let me tell you what I learned in my devotions this morning. I'm serious. Can you imagine what that would do for that kid? He has a grandpa that really cares and a grandpa that's in the Word of God. Read, examine, apply, do it. Say it. Why should we? Because I love the Lord. And He wants me to. Shouldn't this be enough? How many of you are believers? Can I see your hands? You ever just stop and think what He actually did for us? The special gift of salvation? The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God. That eternal life that comes through the death of Jesus. Whoa. And I love what Jesus writes here. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Stop. Why? Who? This is where you examine a little bit. Who is He rebuking? What's going on? Why does He have to chasten these people that He loves so much? He says, I need to rebuke you. I need to chasten you because you used to be hot. You used to care. You used to really, really spend time just wanting to communicate with me. But now you've gotten rich, you've gotten busy, and you've gotten distracted, and you've gotten apathetic. It's no big deal anymore. Be zealous. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be cold. Be zealous. Be hot. You got to change. I love you, but I got to rebuke you because you're not in my word like you should be. Oh, some of you do the little, you know, I did my chapter for today. Because of checklist Christianity, if I do that, God has to bless me. That is not reading. That's checklist Christianity. And remember, it's not what we do, it's what He has done, okay? So what does He say? Behold, look this way. Watch. Give me your attention. Don't let your mind be distracted. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you remember the famous old picture of Jesus in the garden knocking on the door? It kind of has an archway, remember? If you look real closely, guess what? There's no doorknob. None. He does not force his way into us. Why? Because that's duty and not devotion. Robots are cool. Kids, you like robots? R2-D2. And by the way, your grandparents had a favorite robot. Did you know that? It was an old TV show called Lost in Space. And it had vacuum cleaner hoses, arms go, warning, warning, Penny, Dr. Smith. Robots are cool. You can program a robot to quote the Bible like in 48 different languages. You can put a drone to it and drop it off at your church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can even hook it up to your bank account and make sure that it's tithing every single day. You know what a robot cannot do? Do you know what AI will never be able to do? It cannot love. Mm-mm. It can only pretend. It cannot love. And what is the greatest commandment of all? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, yeah, mind, and strength. To truly love him. And if you truly love him, you'll want to spend time with him. So Jesus says, if you just simply open the door, I will come in and will what? Sup. What word do we get from sup? Say it. Supper. It literally means to banquet, to feast, or to dine. But forgive me, but I can't hear the word supper without thinking of Charlie Brown. Sorry. I feed Snoopy, and Snoopy all of a sudden gets his food, and he jumps up, and he starts singing, it's supper time, yeah, it's supper time, woo! And he dances around. And Charlie says, can't you eat your meal like any other dog? No, he can't. My favorite meal the whole year, Thanksgiving meal. I love it. Because it's not like we have to worry about all the presents. The kids come, the grandkids, and I get up early in the morning with Amber, and we've already got the bird cleaned in the fridge and pull it out. She gets the biggest one she can get, 24, 26 pounder, you know. And so we pull it out, and then she always pats and goes, thank you for giving your life for us, you know. And then she takes handfuls of mayonnaise after we stuff it and slathers it all over that thing. I guess it makes it toasty brown or something like that. Then we put it in the oven like at 6:30, 7 o'clock. We're not going to eat till 12. But it takes that long to cook. And then the kids start coming in and we're working on other stuff. And she says, well, make sure that you're not playing games. Make sure you're ready to cut it up. Probably about 11:15, 11:30, okay? I said, sure. So about 11:15, she calls me into the kitchen. And 11:30, we pull the bird out and set it down. And I got the platter and I got the fork, got the knife. Everything's ready to go. And she says, now, wait a minute. You can't cut it up yet. I said, why? She says, it has to rest. I said, it's dead. But it has to rest. We let it rest. And I cut it up, put on a platter, and then we have the gravy, of course, and the stuffing and the green beans with bacon, and over here's pumpkin pies. And you go, I regret, but I have but one stomach for this message. And then we pray and thank God for what he's done for us all. And then we eat and we laugh and we talk and we talk some more and eat some more and laugh some more and save a little bit of room for the pumpkin pie. And I'm serious. Sometimes we have sat there for over 2.5 hours at one Thanksgiving meal. I love that kind of feasting and banqueting and dining. And you know what most of us do with God? We go through a McDonald's drive-thru and get something fast, quick, and easy. Check. And think we're okay. Sorry. That is not what God wants. He wants us to feast, to banquet, to dine with him. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Read a New Testament letter once a day for 30 days. I dare you. Sometimes we read, and it's not bad to read through the whole Bible in 1 year, but Only if you're actually slow enough to learn something and write down what you're learning. But take like the book of Philippians. It'll take you 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Less than 10 minutes to read it through. Take 10 minutes before you go to bed. 10 minutes when you get up in the morning. And read that same book over and over and over. 30 times in a row. I dare you. Reading a couple different translations. Get some commentaries, but read it every single day. The whole book. By the time you get to like day 20, guess what? You know what's going on, happening. And it's like we had a Bible study, and one girl, she's a new Christian, studying the book of Esther. You're supposed to read the first half for the Bible study. She comes and goes, I have to apologize about something. Why? I just had to find out what happened at the end, so I read the whole book. Do you remember when the Word of God was that exciting to you? What happened, guys? Why isn't it part of our lives anymore? You say, I don't have 10 minutes. And do Philemon in a minute and 45 seconds. Break down the gospel to three or four sections. We have a new Bible study, six-week Bible study. As you know, I have the privilege to write for the Wilds. And the new one for this summer is the book of Mark, Snapshots of the Savior. And Mark is like this crazy teenager that's always in a hurry. I think the word straightway is in that book 100 times, okay? Jesus walked on water and he healed the blind man and he fed 5,000, everything. And he's just excited about what Jesus did. Read about Bible topics. What do I mean? Okay? So I know Kara, and so I'm going to pick on her. She's going to Guam. And over there in Guam, you're going to teach in the school, I assume, okay? And just suppose she gets over there, and the same thing that's happening here in the States is happening in Guam, that all you have to say to a bunch of teenagers is one word, anxiety, hush. Because they're stressed. They're anxious. They're scared. So Kara says, no, I'm not going to let this overcome all my young friends. And she takes an extra half hour every night for 6 months, and she reads like Stress Less, Fear Not, or she reads everything she can find on anxiety and stress and worry. And then a couple seventh grade girls are talking and said, you ever just get so scared of life? Yeah. Well, you know that teacher, Kara Shelton? I heard that for 6 months she studied what the Bible says about anxiety and fear. Let's go talk to her. And you could become the go-to counselor. Yeah. One of you men could become the go-to counselor in this church for the young ones or even the old ones struggling with their thought lives. It's true. How about Bible characters? Did you know these guys were real? Just as real as we are right here. My favorites? Oh, I don't even know where to start. But I do know in the new world, in the new earth, I'm going to get John, I'm going to get Mark, and we're going to go hang out in a coffee shop. You say, coffee shop in the new world? Sure, why not? I don't think it'd be called Starbucks. It'd probably be called something like Hebrews or something like that, okay? I did think of another one. How about a new coffee shop? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, slightly roasted, never burnt, or something like that, okay? Read chronologically. And again, this is in addition to your Bible study. It's just kind of fun to do that, okay? Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. How do you examine the Word of God? If you've read your portion, say, I'm done. No, you're not. Sorry, but you're not. Because we're supposed to read with the purpose of learning. And you can only do that through examining. This is not my life verse, but this is what I get to do with teenagers and have had the privilege for over 48 years. They read in the book of the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So for me in preaching and writing, I think of a 10th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade boy. Okay? If I can get them to understand. Now, 7th and 8th grade boys, I call them pre-people. Okay, no offense. But if I can just get these guys, so I want to be very distinct. And I want them to make sense to them. And I want them to understand. So they don't know just what to do, but they know why they should do what they should do. So to do that, when you read a book of the Bible, who is it written to? What is the major theme? What is the big idea? When was it written in correlation with the other books? Where? Why? What was the purpose behind it? How? And you ask all these questions because that inquisitive mind helps you to learn. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it.
Read, examine, apply, do.
Okay, how do we apply the Word of God? How do we do this? Well, this passage actually teaches us exactly what to do. Would you read it out loud together with me? Ready? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. When it says all scripture is given by inspiration, what does that mean? Can you tell me? Say it out loud. What does it mean? God breathed. What does God breathe mean? Inspiration. Okay. You're 13 years old. That's how old everybody is. I want to teach you what it means to be God breathed. Take your hand, please. Everybody take your hand, put it in front of your mouth. Go ahead. Go ahead. Repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? Okay. You cannot speak without breathing out. And God breathed out these words, and he told his friends like Moses and David and Jeremiah and Daniel and Matthew and John and Paul to write them down. And it is what we call the precious, precious Word of God. This is God's Word breathed out. And it's good for us. What? Here's why it's so good. The doctrine teaches us what is right. Can teach your grandkids what is right. The reproof shows us what is wrong. And we don't want to go that way. So how can I make the wrong right? That's the correction. And this Bible teaches that. And then once I knew I was going wrong, I want to make it right, I correct it. How do I keep doing right? That's the instruction in righteousness. And God shows us how to do that every time. For everything that we face. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. How do you do the Bible? This is probably the most difficult part of reading. But if we read without the do, first of all, we don't really want to do the do if we don't understand and have examined and then applied it by seeing where it hits us personally. We may read and think that's good for somebody else, but until you read long enough to find out where it applies to you, that's the application. If you're a Sunday school teacher, maybe you teach in school, pastor, this is scary. Because this is the secret of retention learning. Even as I'm preaching right now, I know when I stand in front of the teenagers, I think it's even worse, you're only going to get 5% of what I'm saying. Whoa, pastor studies hours and hours and hours to bring to you the study, and you're picking up 5%? So I'm going to use PowerPoint, and I'm going to make you read it. At least I'm up to 20% now. And we're going to talk about it and discuss it, get up to 50. Guys, if you would go home and just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you an extra 20 minutes a day for the rest of this year, just reading your word. Ooh. Then, Grandpa, you're ready when that 6-7-year-old grandson or granddaughter says, Papa, can you teach me how to read? Yeah. As for you teens, teach your younger brothers and sisters. That's where you find somebody that needs some help. And normally we think of little tiny kids. I had the privilege to preach at North Carolina. I lived there at the Wilds for 30 years. You got to come when you were a kid, right? I went to a church called Midway Bible Baptist Church. It was a boy howdy shouting mountain church, okay? And a boy came and got saved. And he had hair almost to his waist. He'd gotten saved in one of our tent meetings. And he came to my Sunday school class, and this is all he said. He was already out of high school, good athlete. And because of athletics, they pushed him through. He said, in Sunday school, could you please not call on me to read? I said, why? He said, I don't know how to read. He was 17 years of age. I said, you want to learn how to read? He's like, so I can read the Bible all by myself? That's what he said. So we met every Sunday afternoon for an hour. And we used scripture, okay? We did that for a year. And then he said, I want to go to college. I said, you sure you're ready for college? Yep. And because you went there, I'm going to Bob Jones University. I said, are you sure? I know a good Bible Institute. Nope. So he went to Bob Jones, and they had a Bible Institute at the time. He got in trouble at school a lot because he is a mountain shouting guy. And every time the preacher in chapel would say something that he would like, glory! And everybody would stare at him. They started calling him Glory on the campus, okay? He graduated, got a job with a printing company and running a printing press. And then he came and talked to me. He says, I want to do more for God. Do you know where Mickey Kofor is today? He's in Mongolia. He's been there for 25 years. He was able to take over, purchase for almost no money, an entire old high school that is now a Christian camp. And he found a church in the West that was willing to give $250,000 to buy a printing press to go to Mongolia to print Bibles in Mongolia from a kid who at 17 years of age couldn't even read. Yeah. God's using him in a wonderful way. There's some TV show in Europe that highlighted him, one of the hardest places to live. You look up Mickey Kofor, C-O-F-E-R, and you'll find the story. Teach somebody to read. And if they already know how to read, then teach them how to read the Bible. Do you know there's pockets all over the United States right now that are not doing Bible studies, but they're doing Bible reading groups? What's that? It is this simple. You go to a restaurant, you ask the waitress or waiter, hey, can I pray for you about anything? I can pray for your meal. And I found in New England, they're very, very receptive to that. Now, they think I'm a priest or something, but they're very receptive to that, okay? But you ask somebody to go to church, it scares them. You ask somebody to meet on a Tuesday night at a Starbucks for a Bible study, I'll be there. But you got to be willing to give up your Tuesday night. And guys and teens and adults are getting together, believe it or not, in groups of five or six or seven, just reading through the New Testament. They read a chapter at a time, just reading. And then they have coffee and talk about what they read. Maybe you're a dad and maybe you struggle academically. Do you guys have family devotions? Do your kids hear you reading? You say, Rand, I can't read well. Even if you can't read at all, you can still be the leader of family devotions. Okay, kids, come on. Yep, Mom's going to read to us. Are you ready? See? But it still shows that you have that love. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If we think we can come to this church, or you think you can open your Bible and read your chapter a day, close your Bible, and it does not impact you, you hear it, but you don't hear it. I just want you to understand that doesn't make you spiritual in God's eyes, okay? It is a heart issue. And the heart issue is normally expressed by love. And how do you express love to each other? You give them time. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Interesting, the meditation is connected to do. According to all that's written therein. You say, oh, come on, Rand, I'm so busy. I have to make money and be prosperous. And No. Meditate in the word of God. Then watch what God will do. Then shalt thou make their way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Say the first verse together with me. Ready? Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not... Sweet. How many of you believe that verse is true? Let me see your hands. Sweet. I'm almost done. How about I pick three or four of you, and I want you to stand up and share one or two verses that you've been memorizing your personal devotions the last couple of weeks, because whatever you're memorizing will be a great blessing to others, okay? Let's start with, everybody's looking away from me all of a sudden. I'm not going to call on anybody. Why? Probably be pretty quiet. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin. And we still get angry. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And we still wrestle with greed and lust. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And we still worry and believe that God's not strong enough to get us out of the situation. It doesn't even make sense. Come on, guys. Most of us go to YouTube and know more about our trucks than we know about our own heart. And again, I don't want to be harsh, but this is what we're supposed to do. And then he says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditation technically is an agricultural term. It's from the concept of a cow and rumination, or where they chew their cud. How many of you live in a farm? How many have ever been on a farm? Let me see your hands. How many ever sang old MacDonald had a farm? Let me see your hands. Okay, I'll make it easy. I grew up working on a farm. The girl cows, those are the ones we get milk from, okay? The white ones, white milk, black ones, chocolate milk, you know all about that. They get up early in the morning, they eat their grain, eat the grass at 6:30. Did you know a girl cow, she gets hungry at 10:30 and she ate at 6:30, doesn't have to eat again. The way God made these cows is they have different stomachs and they ruminate, they chew their cud. So she gets hungry at 10:30, she takes the food she ate at 6:30 and burps it back up into their mouth, chews it up again, swallows it, and puts it in another stomach. 2:00, you hungry again? Just puke it back up in your mouth, chew it up again. Hey, you young guys, wouldn't that be cool? You never have to carry a lunch. Wouldn't that be cool, huh? You say, that is gross. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows and not men like cows? Because we could be sitting here right now and they're thinking, how long is Rand going to go? I'm getting a little bit hungry. Ooh, breakfast, honey nut cheerio. Bring it up. All right, no. But the reason a cow does that is she wants to get every nutrient out of it. Chew it over and over and over and over. Kind of like one of my favorite verses, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou, talking about God. So you help me out. Raise your hand and give me one character trait or character quality of God that really, really means a lot to you. A character quality or a character trait of God. Yes. Yes. That's one of my favorites. It literally means to be of long nose. Or to be of long breath. It's kind of like the bull charging, okay? His patience is amazing. In fact, everybody, take in a breath. Take it in. Hold it. Now let it out. Now watch me. Men, your wife says something that really upsets you. Watch me. Hun, can we maybe talk about that? That's all the time it takes. You kids, you have a brother or sister that irritates the snot out of you every day. Watch me. Buddy, would you take that stupid and put it back in your pocket, okay, please? He's a long-suffering God. I wonder how many times he goes, Rand, you're so patient with me. Somebody else, characteristic of God that means a lot to you. Yes, immutable. You can trust a God that's immutable. Some of you ladies change your mind 12 times what you're going to wear to come to church, but God never, ever changes his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust it. This, if you go outside tonight, if you can see the moon, a couple of the stars, they're in the same place that Abraham looked to. Whoa. That's amazing. He's an immutable, long-suffering God. A couple more. Yes. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Isn't it neat that we have an all-powerful God? He spoke the world into existence. And whatever struggles we're facing, he can give us the power. He is an all-powerful, omnipotent, patient, immutable God. Couple more. Yes. Faithful. I don't know if I can ever hear that word faithful without thinking of that song, he is faithful, faithful to me. But he's faithful to us even when we're unfaithful to him. That blows my mind. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing it from your heart when you sing it. He is a faithful, omnipotent, immutable, patient God. One more. Yes, sir. Compassion. He loves us. Again, even when we're unloving. For God so loved, he gave. Thou, this loving, compassionate, holy, forgiving, all-powerful, patient, immutable God will, there's a promise, keep. That means guard me in what? Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, everybody look at me. Did you know, I was watching the clock, I quit preaching 4.5 minutes ago. Did you know that? I did. And you know what we did for the last 4.5 minutes? We meditated on the character of God. So you get your friends, you get your kids, a bunch of teens get together, you go out somewhere where you can have a nice quiet table, get your coffee, get your latte, and you start doing this. And then you find the verses that teach us and back it up. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Wow. Right in the middle of temptation. Right in the middle of temptation. Okay. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Lord, help me be careful here. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Lord, I need your help here. Right in the middle of temptation. You won't forget it. Right in the middle of the trials. And you hear the word cancer and heart attack and a loss of a job. Father, you promise you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I want to hold the pen and write the end of my story, but I want you to hold the pen and write the end of my story. I trust you. So with this in mind, I get asked all the time, do you have a verse for anger? Do you have a verse for thought life? Do you have a good verse? And these, there's samples. I can't carry all the books with me when I travel as much now. But there's a little QR code, I guess you call it. Looks like a corn maze to me. But if you just take a picture of that, it'll take you to a website to take you to the wilds. Actually, these, you can go to Amazon.com. But these are not books that you read through. These are books like Meditation to Fight Moral Impurity, Thought Life. To control anger and bitterness, to overcome fear, worry, discouragement. There's another one that the kids say, I should get this from my mom. It's called Stress Less, Trust More. There's one on the book of 1 Thessalonians, Contagious. They're the kind that you keep by your bed and read just one short 60-second meditation before you go to bed. But you read the same meditation all week. Then you read the next one. I promise you, you do that for a couple months, it'll amaze you how you think differently. And every penny from every one of these books goes to the wilds. It doesn't go to me, okay? For your kids, I used to say for your kids, I'm told on the daily meditations, Monday to Friday, it's 4, 5, 6 minutes long. I heard that there's more senior saints than there are teens right now following it. But if you just want something to wake you up in the morning, it's just Bible study. That's it. We're studying the Lord's Prayer, right? Or I'm sorry, we're studying the Sermon on the Mount right now. Just go to randhummel.com. It's totally free. It costs nothing. So when it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, that's how you do the Bible. Memorize. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That's how you do Scripture. Think about it. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That's how you do the Bible. So, I'm going to pick on somebody here, okay? What's your first name, sir?
John.
Do you have a, be honest, do you struggle memorizing? You do. I'm glad I picked you. I do too. So I'm going to ask you, John, to do me a favor, at least for the next year. I do not want you to memorize another verse of Scripture. In fact, I'd encourage you not to memorize another verse of Scripture for the rest of your life. I'm serious. Don't you dare do that. But instead, I want you to do something for me. I want you to read. I want you to take Psalm 23. Don't memorize it. Got it? But before you go to bed, I want you to read it through twice, all the verses. Just read it from your Bible twice before you go to sleep. Don't memorize it, okay? But do that every single night for 30 days. Please, don't memorize it. Just read it every night for 30 days. But promise me you won't memorize it. Psalm 23, okay? Yeah. I knew I picked the brightest guy here. Now, by day 15, 18, you don't even have to open your Bible. I'm telling you, folks, don't use your age or intellectualism to say, I can't. Yes, you can. Read over and over. How do you meditate? Read it. Don't read that Bible story just once and say, okay, I did it for this year. Read it 30 times. Read that book of the Bible over and over. How do you master that? You read the precious, precious Word of God. And as you're reading this, all of a sudden, it's part of your thinking, a part of your life, and you'll see how it totally transforms you. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Turn to the person next to you and say it. Why? Why? Because you love the Lord. And the Lord loves you. And he wants you to. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for all of us. Our heads are bowed. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Okay? Because if I did, and we're all honest, every single one of us in here would have to raise our hands. Now, there's a few of you that you're at that stage of life where you enjoy that hour and a half with the Lord every day. And that is wonderful. But most of us either can't do that, maybe wish to do that. Pastors say to me, I say, hey, what can I pray about? Rand, if I could just get the men in my church to read their Bibles, it would change their lives and change their homes. You have relationship problems? Read the Bible. You struggle with fear and lust, read the Bible. I promise you, it'll change your life. Father, forgive us for failing in the simplistic, simple thing you ask us to do. And what you did through so many authors of different backgrounds and the way you protected your precious word that we can have Genesis to Revelation. Oh, all that you did for us because you want us to read it. I pray that you convict our hearts a week from now, not just now, 2 weeks from now. Help us not to play games. Help us, please, not to believe just because we show up at church that everything's okay and we're doing great. Please, Father, give us such a burden and such a love for reading that it becomes contagious to others. And we'll want to get our friends and our kids and grandkids to do the same. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for convicting our hearts today. As we pray in the precious name of Jesus, amen.